So back to the Republicans now. Retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson is out of that Republican presidential primary.
We still have millions of Americans who are saying on Facebook, you cannot leave us. We have to have a representative of honesty.
Well, leave them he did, Ben Carson. Or did he really? One way that Ben Carson's campaign stood out wasn't the fresh policy ideas or primary wins, certainly. Carson raised a lot of money from a lot of people, $54 million in total, more direct donations than any other Republican candidate, and mostly from small donors who had never given to any campaign before. Now, we've talked before on the show about how much modern campaigns know about their supporters and their voters. They want to be able to predict who's going to volunteer, who will vote, and also, of course, who will give them money. And that information isn't just valuable during a campaign. It turns out it has a price even after the campaign is over. Carrie Levine is money and politics reporter for the Center for Public Integrity. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
It's great to have you. How is Ben Carson's donor list, this huge list, email list of donors that he's collected, how is it worth money now? Who wants it? How do they get it?
Well, now that Ben Carson is out of the campaign, this is a tangible asset that his campaign still has. These are people who came out to support him, who hundreds of thousands gave money to support him, and they respond to certain kind of fundraising solicitations. So that's going to be of value to other candidates and political action committees and groups raising money in the political arena.
Now, Ben Carson isn't alone. Lists like this are rented all the time. And if you're like me and you follow politics, you get solicitations in your email box all the time. But Ben Carson stands out because a lot of his list is first-time donors. So what does that mean? How does that make it more valuable?
Well, first of all, it's a big list. It's a national list. As you point out, it contains a pretty good percentage of people who probably aren't on other political lists. These are people who were really committed to Ben Carson, who responded to him personally. And so when other people rent that list, they're going to be thinking about how to approach those people, what these people respond to, and how they might raise money from them.
So if I'm that candidate and I'm sort of Carson-like in my politics, what's a Ben Carson donor worth? What am I paying to get a hold of his list for a week or for one email blast?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because they haven't started renting it yet, but I had some folks estimate for me what that list might be worth, and they were talking about $5 to $6 a name over a few years. So that obviously, when you've got hundreds of thousands of names on a list, adds up to quite a bit of money.
That money goes where? To Ben Carson himself or back into his campaign fund?
Back into his campaign committee. You know, there's a surprising number of campaign committees for people who aren't candidates anymore that are still alive, still running, and still renting out their lists.
So telemarketers buy and sell information to other marketers, credit card companies. We're used to having our consumer information shared around. Is this fundamentally different in politics, or is this what we should expect, do you think?
It runs along a very similar track. As for whether we expect it, you know, I think it depends on the person that you're talking about. There are certainly people like you and me who subscribe to a lot of email lists, who like to keep tabs on what's going on, and we're aware that those lists get traded in the marketplace. I think, though, that I talked to a large number of Ben Carson donors for this story and for another story I did last year, and many of them were responding to Ben Carson because they thought he was a different kind of candidate. And so when I made some calls for this story to talk to people about how they felt about this, whether this was what they expected, a lot of people were surprised.
Surprised that they would wind up on someone else's list? But it's just a bunch of emails in your inbox, right? In the end, is it really a compromise, do you think?
It's emails, it's phone calls, it's direct mail. There's lots of different ways to approach people. I think it's also a question of whether this is what people intended when they set out.
And whether they want to be contacted by further campaigns that are Carson-like.
Correct.
One of the other best examples of this probably was Sarah Palin, who had a huge list and has rented out her list quite a bit.
That's right. And I think it's also a good example of how over time these lists need to be kept fresh or they get a little less valuable. I think Sarah Palin's PAC is pulling in less money from that than it did a few years ago when that list was fresher.
So if it's $5 or $6 a head, do you think Ben Carson himself or somebody close to him has done the final assessment of what he might be able to pull in here?
I'm sure that he has estimates of that because there are people working for Ben Carson who are in this business.
Well, if you gave Ben Carson money during the campaign because you liked his politics, the campaign didn't succeed. But get ready. You may be getting those phone calls. You may be getting those emails or, dare I say, even a text or two from someone who considers themselves Carson-like. Carrie Levine, money and politics reporter at the Center for Public Integrity. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.